And by the way, he spells Jeff with a G, so you know he comes from money.
Tighten the rigging, batten down the hatches, put out the oars, and get ready with the long guns. It's time to attack pirates on This Week in Mormons.
That's pretty good, man. You just come up with that.
You know, I've got a great nautical thing going for me. What can I say?
I'm really into nautical moments. Well, good. Good. Button down the hatches and ready the long range rifle.
Ready the long guns. Get the long nines. Everything I know about
pull up broadside and watch the port side.
Everything I know about
go to the starboard
boats. I learned it all from the Pirates movies. That's really about it. That's all I've got. And I don't mean the Johnny Depp ones. I mean like Cutthroat Island, you know, the really quality pictures, the good ones.
I started to read the Master and Commander series. I forget who writes that, but they're apparently like brilliant in terms of nautical warfare books. And there's like 19 of them. The guy wrote this massive amount. And I was trying to read them in college, and I made it through half of one. And I just couldn't get hooked.
I've never even seen the movie. It's one of those random movies I need to see and have not seen. Yeah, it's a sad thing.
With Russell Crowe, Jeff, you live tweeted Air Bud 3 times. And you've never seen Master and Commander.
Well, yeah. Though I've never seen it. If you really wanted to enjoy live tweeting, when I first decided to watch Twilight for no reason other than self-loathing, and I live tweeted the entire experience, that was beautiful.
I just wish you could replay that moment.
Over
and over again.
And over and over. I actually paid to see the last Twilight movie in theaters. I said, let's do this. I'm all caught up. I'm ready.
Wait, you've seen them? I've never seen any of them.
I saw all of them. This was during the summer of my discontent, or the fall of my discontent. Either way, when I was engaged, but my dear now wife was still far from me in California. And I had many months of solitude. And so what did I do?
You watched 50 Shades of Grey over and over again.
Al, that came out last year. I've been married since that came out. And we have it on Blu-ray. I mean, come on. It's everywhere
we have bookmarks set.
We tried watching it on VidAngel, but it was like 10 minutes long. Kind of boring. Felt like a waste of a buck.
That's a real deal, man.
Anyway, that's the dream. By the way, apologies up front, folks. So, a little late in the week. We've been busy. I have been sick as well, so it was hard to record. I'm still coming out of that, so apologies for that up front. Also, it's about 100 degrees in DC, so you might hear air conditioning. And also, they are renovating the unit next door to mine, so you might get the privilege of hearing assorted power tools, which decided to flare up in the past 45 minutes or so. So I don't know if here and there you're going to hear a table saw just going in the background. Who's to say? We might hear nothing. We might hear everything. I don't even know.
You
okay there, Al?
You having
a hot texting conversation? Yeah?
No, Jeff, I'm battling some stuff over here. You keep bantering. Keep going. Keep going. I've got some stuff.
I have nothing left to say. The people don't listen for me. They listen for
you.
No, you
told
you're
us how the air conditioning's coming on. You've told us how the power tools are going to happen.
I was issuing my disclaimers for a potentially not as orally pleasurable.
Ooh.
There was no good place for me to take that. That was a...
Yeah, well, anything that's orally anything, I'm not sure about.
Oh, I'm just saying. That reminds me of our Facebook. Was it my Facebook page? Was it our Facebook page this week? Someone had a great joke about Grab the Johnson.
What?
Oh, it was that Jeff Flake thing. So you know Jeff Flake from Arizona, right? Mormon, good guy. Trump had a bunch of meetings with Republican members of Congress this week, and many of them walked away unimpressed. And of course, and Flake straight up said to Trump, hey, I'm the other senator from Arizona. There's two of us here.
I'm the one that didn't get captured.
Yeah, that's what he said. And Flake was very clear that he's not big on the Trump. Trump said things like he was going to make sure Flake could not get reelected, even though Flake reminded him he's not running for reelection.
Hurt me now because I didn't know. I was just trying to.
I also understand Trump said he was going to. Trump was going to protect the 12th article of the Constitution, which does not exist. So there's that one too. Trump supporters doesn't know the Constitution. And if you met 12th Amendment, that's still something weird for the president to decide to protect. Because the 12th Amendment's all about the procedure for electing the president and the vice president.
That's an important one to have. After seeing Hamilton the play, I've learned it's important to not let the vice president be your opponent. That we need to change that.
It was kind of funny, huh? So the 12th Amendment fixed that and made it so it was...
That would have been delightful. Could you imagine a Trump-Hillary
or Hillary-Trump, for that matter.
Or Hillary-Trump, and you're like, that would be the worst 4 years in office.
Yeah.
Ever. But I love the idea of a strong second place. Second place meaning something. Thank you. That's the American.
Legitimate silver medal. Absolutely. And they give Gary Johnson the bronze, which would be...
Gary Johnson from out of nowhere. I like that his whole platform is he's like, I'm less crazy than the other two. I like, in good conscience, cannot vote for either party's nominee. I have to do something.
You have to vote for Johnson just for kicks and giggles. He's not going to win, but if he gets enough of a vote, it's going to shake things up even more, and that could be
fun. I want to bring Ross Perot back in. I think Perot could make a run.
No, Gary Johnson.
Where's our wealthy independent?
Well,
you know who'd be more interesting than Gary Johnson is Gary Busey, former ally of Trump, all of a sudden coming out against him.
Is he a former ally because of when he was on Celebrity Apprentice?
That's right. No, he was all over Celebrity Apprentice. And him, his running mate could be Lil Jon.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
Back to the start of this story. One of our followers said hashtag feel the Johnson in reference to Gary Johnson as the plausible alternative. And that's an uncomfortable hashtag.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you've felt the burn. You may not feel the Johnson.
That is just full of innuendo. My goodness. But good for Jeff Flake. Jeff Flake is keeping it real. Another reason to vote for Jeff Flake when he inevitably runs for president. And that's why he's doing this. So that people can't come back and say, hey, but you supported Trump.
I just wish there's, man, who is the other one? Dumpster Fire. I'm Googling.
Be like, remember the days before the revolution that overthrew.
Dumpster Fire of a campaign or an election.
Stoss or something like that. I'll find it quicker than you. Sassy.
Senator Spocks.
I'm better than you at search.
Ben Sassy, yeah. This is great. Well, the spokesman for him gets up and says, the senator considers the election to remain a dumpster fire. It's just funny. I like the hoo-ha with the Trump. I think that's very entertaining.
We love the hoo-ha. But, well, anyway.
Good for you, Jeff.
So, Blake. This past week was America's birthday to our American listeners, of which you are the plurality at the very least, if not the majority.
Jeff, what did you do for the 4th of July?
The 4th itself was kind of sad. We had very heavy rain and thunderstorms on the 4th.
Oh my gosh.
The typical activities were pretty off the table. There wasn't really much to do in that case.
No, there was nobody
had barbecues. Oh. They still did fireworks on the mall at night.
Man.
But you couldn't see them. It was just a glow in the sky. And then PBS had the audacity when the fireworks went on to show footage from previous years so that looked better during a clear evening. And I was like, wait a minute. I know this is not what it looks like right now. Right now you cannot actually, because I can see the Washington Monument from my apartment. And the fireworks when it's clear. We could not see anything.
That'd be great at PBS show. It's just like a blurry blob. It's like, wow.
That's what they're trying to avoid. It looked pretty pathetic in the background if you watched Capitol Steps. So the 4th itself, therefore, not wildly entertaining or amazing. But I did get to go to the Basque Folklife Festival sponsored by the Smithsonian over the weekend. So that was...
Wait, what does that mean?
I always clap. The Basques, they're a people of Spain and France.
Oh, Spaniards.
Denied their statehood.
Yeah. No, I've heard of them.
Well, they're Basque people.
From Spain, the Spaniards. Absolutely. And so you went to a display of Spaniards?
Well, no, this is about the Basque people who are also in France. Spain and France. Much like the Catalan people are in Spain and France. Though mostly in Spain.
Jeff, a Basque nationalist festival is this where one just gets together with other Basque nationalists, eats their weird paella-type stew that isn't quite paella, and then talks about how great their life is without the Spaniard overlords. Have they had the chance to live it? Or is it more like a they just go there and wish that their life was not as overshadowed
right
as it is? I mean what exactly are we looking for in it?
I like how it started, bad paella, which was not there was none, but I like where you were going with it, and that it became a Basque nationalist festival, which it wasn't in the beginning, but that's come to think of it, I don't remember seeing I don't remember seeing the flag of the Basque country anywhere. Maybe because that's the flag of the autonomous community of Spain, of the Basque country, not the larger Basque people, you know, across into France. So maybe they didn't use any flags. What do you do? You know, they have, it's all cultural, cheeses, different dances, workshops, learn how to speak the language, music.
Just speak Spanish, but with a lisp.
No, Basque is really jacked up.
I heard it's, you just say Barcelona.
I hate you so much right now. Anyway, how was your weekend and your fourth? And thing. Did you successfully use the, what was it called? The blubber? The
blob. My gosh. I tried so hard. I wanted so badly for the blob to be my thing. And it just was really tough. Because I didn't get a huge one, right? I got like a normal sized blob, and so this blob,
that's not Al style. Come on.
Well, it's like a 12 footer, and so like to get out on it, you just get halfway out, and the whole thing would roll. So the only way we were able to get it going is we had four grown ups that were hanging on the sides of this thing, and then a child would crawl out. And then we'd launch the biggest one of us off the high dive and launch these children. And then it took me about 4 hours to get a successful launch. And then we had launch after launch after launch, but we just had to tighten it up. But I came home the next day, and I was so sore. I felt like I'd been hanging sheetrock on a ceiling all day because I'm, like, just hanging on this thing with all my weight trying to balance it. It really works the core. You know, sure. It's like I like to think of it like waterborne Pilates, which was really nice. So that was fun.
Absolutely.
And then the homegrown fireworks show, man, it's always a delight. Always a risk of somebody dying, which makes it a delight. Every time you start playing tag with those artillery shells, a little bit of me is scared of death. Not a lot, but a little. And I've yet to die, so I don't know why I'm even afraid of it.
So you guys have artillery shells?
Yeah. These are the mortars. They call them artillery shells, but it's the ones that shoot up in the sky and then blow up.
Yeah, I know.
And so that's the game. A mortar. Yeah, that's the game. Is you try and shoot those at each other. I do not recommend it. I think that it's a terrible game. It's a mistake, and no one should ever do that. No one should have to live with that kind of fear. Thankfully, I'm the older brother, but it doesn't mean as much now that we're all 30 plus men as it did when I was 15 and could squish them. So that happened.
You're still not like
nice.
Freakishly larger than everybody else. Come on.
Well, Jeff, I feel like all men are created equal in the eyes of a mortar shell. You know, it's sort of like I have a huge advantage in a fight until there is a gun involved. And then I'm just as flesh and blood.
Oh boy!
You had to
take it to fights and guns and stuff with everything that's gone on this week.
That's been crazy. That stuff. We've talked about this before, but there's some phenomenon that actually supports this. But this idea that like when ideas are too big and too abstract that I almost like you almost hide from them, right? Like we talked about like Edward Snowden as this stuff was coming out, and I'm like, I'm outraged. I hate that this is a thing. I want it to change. I have no idea what to do, so I'm going to pretend like I can't see it anymore. And you just sort of go back to your place where you can digest all the stuff going on. And like the cops and the murders and stuff going on, the debate around that, I'm like, I have opinions. I'm very passionate about them as well. I have no idea what to do to fix this.
I'm just going to go and hide with my digestible piece of the world and pretend like it's everything's okay. I know it's not the right reaction. I don't know what else to do, though. What do you do outside of share yet another angry Facebook post?
Yeah, well, because that's all it is. And then after Dallas, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And you're right.
What do you do? We're getting a little bit serious. I've still got more funny things to go into. I saw Flight of the Conchords last night. But as a sidebar, I would like to know your thoughts on not just feeling completely overwhelmed by all of the bad going on, and instead taking that sense and turning it into something positive that actually means something, even if it's just to myself and my small community.
And that's all you can do. I mean, it's... We have to remember love above all. I mean, and it's hard because it's easy to point fingers. It's easy to want to fix things as we should want to do. And I think the hard thing is no side wants to be the one to take responsibility, to take the first step necessarily. And the other problem is we're viewing it like it's an issue of sides, right? That we're actually saying, hey, there's an us versus them mentality. And whatever that may be, I mean, like, The Dallas assassinations is crazy, and that's just that's mind-boggling. I mean, that's straight up civilian sniper fire against who were cops who were just monitoring a peaceful protest. There was no altercation or anything going on in Dallas, and that's terrible. And I hope the suspects, when they get all of them, will of course be brought to justice and treated accordingly. And then we go to Minneapolis, Louisiana, and it's.
Abstract one more level, though, like even Trump versus Hillary, right? This is a huge deal. I feel strongly about this. This is a huge mistake. What do you do? The, you know, domestic surveillance, absolutely terrifying. Like, it's crazy the liberties we've given up. What do you do? Like, these bigger, as the problems get more and more meaningful, more and more significant, I become less and less confident in how to react to them.
Well, if I may, then.
Yes, please.
Over at LDS Daily, here's some potential possibilities for you. Aaliyah Ingram, who writes a lot of good stuff.
No, don't share this. No. All right.
Well, you don't want this shared? That was shared yesterday on the 7th?
This better not be a stupid LDS Daily list of 10 things.
No. This isn't one of their weird things. This one's okay. 10 ways Mormons can have a change of heart and help change the world. And this directly responds to what you've been talking about. It's not.
I'm never going to come to you for advice if you share with me an LDS Daily thing. I think this thing, everybody would agree with me here.
That's fair, but I'm going to go through these really quick. First, number one, understand charity. I think that's valid. Number two, avoid haste.
All right,
and contention.
Pause before you finish this. On like an actual serious note, not trying to churn through our mentions. Do you have any thoughts on how? Am I making sense in terms of like the struggle even to comprehend a realistic or a decent reaction to some of this stuff? Do you feel the same way?
I was legitimately going to try to glean something of value from this list because I don't always have all the answers. I'm not saying this Aaliyah does, but
Aaliyah does not. She does not. Recognize who you represent. Find a reason to hope. She has no idea what she's doing.
No, some of these are good, though. Avoid haste and contention. It's really easy to be reactive on social media, like you said. And I think, honestly, it might be good to take a step back and not deal with everything online because it's going to stress you out and you're not. Like, you know, there's all those jokes online like, oh, yeah, I changed my opinion about something because some guy on Facebook was railing on X topic, which never happens, right? So I honestly think Facebook is more divisive during times like this than it is in any ways inclusive and bad.
All right, so this Aaliyah woman has no idea.
That's an idea right there. How about this one, Al?
Number six. I'm not going to be... You got me in a moment of sincerity and genuine inquiry, and you've spoiled it.
Some of these are ones I would agree with, though.
So like now,
focus on your sphere of influence. How's that one? Everyone wants to change the world on Facebook. Think about what you can do locally to make a difference. Look around your community. So, are there issues there that need addressing? I think that's also a fair thing.
I went to Flight of the Conchords last night, and
we're really pivoting to Flight of the Conchords now.
Have you seen them live? They are
I don't
wonderful.
Want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about a national tragedy that now you are skirting.
You want to talk about Aaliyah's top 10 list of things to do to make you feel better about yourself.
I have moved on from Aaliyah, and I think the list is fine.
It's mediocre. Subpar.
I think it's fine.
I believe this reflects on her ability as a writer directly.
I think in situations like this, Al, since you're asking, we really need to try to get a mentality that we are all in this together. Once we start adopting a mentality that this is cops versus blacks versus whatever, that's when things are only going to get worse. That's when there's going to be urban warfare going on in one way or another. That's when you're going to have radicals of any variety, doesn't matter which race or persuasion, causing more problems and civil unrest. So we have to come together. We have to really think about the roots of our issues and address those things. We can't just say, oh, you know, have assumed that cops are racist, so they're attacking black people. No, some maybe, sure. Some maybe are poorly trained. We can't assume that the small examples are the rule, because there are innumerable good cops out there who are doing their work, right? Like, it's silly to assume otherwise. I saw a post today where someone said, hey, do we really believe that the people who have been shot recently, not the cops, but the African-American gentleman, that they weren't doing something to merit the attention of police officers? Very close to basically saying, they do we really think they didn't have it coming in one way or another? That is a very dangerous place to be, and I've seen a lot of that. That's really dumb. And it's true. They found one of these guys might have been a sex offender, whatever. You've got the whole Minneapolis thing with the guy on video. But nobody deserves it. I mean, then we go into other areas here, whether we think that cops even need to have lethal force. Those are other discussions to have. But we're going to develop a schism, and if we don't try to heal it and get to deeper issues here of why these schisms exist in the first place, nothing's going to get better. I mean, that's the main issue. Why do schisms like this exist? Well, there's subsets of the community that are disenfranchised.
That, that's the question that I'm asking is, like, we are good as a society of creating the desire for change, right? We create a desire for, I mean, every documentary out there. I watch The Cove, and I want to save dolphins, and I watch Blackfish, I want all the orcas to get free. And, you know, like, we can go documentary to documentary, we can go issue to issue, and I think we're really good at drumming up support for change. Where it all kind of breaks down is, what is the change that we want, and then who's supposed to build this change? Like, where do we go? Yeah. Where do we go beyond desire? Because it's not, I mean, it's bigger even than our local sphere of influence. Like, I'd be willing to quit my job and go and do something, like go and fight for a cause that I believe in. For instance, like the domestic surveillance stuff. I feel very strongly about that. I have no idea how do you curb the access of the federal government and get them to be honest with you? I don't know. I have no idea how that stuff actually works. And so instead of continuing to be concerned with it, I kind of hide from it. I go home and try and never like the shootings are a great example. I have actively tried to not read anything about any of it. I haven't watched any videos. I haven't read any posts. I just know that it happened, and then I've like turned it off because I don't know what to do. I can't even.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to try to get away from social media and try to find actual facts to inform yourself on what happens in any place. But honestly, it's cliche, but try to get in touch with a congressperson from your state and be their job is to field questions and even meetings with the general public. I mean, you elect these people. That's why they are supposed to be there.
But like we've interned with all these guys. I mean, what's a staffer going to say when you call and say, hey, I'm really mad about this stuff. What are you guys doing to fix it? And they say, well, the governor's very concerned about this. The senator is actively working to make your world a safer place.
Start your own foundation, then. Lead an effort. I'll build something.
Jeff, we should run for office. We will be the next Gary Johnson.
Oh, cool.
Will you be my campaign manager?
Yes.
Will you be my Sam Seaborn?
I will be your Leo McGarry so long as I don't die.
I make no promises.
On
your time
night.
May come.
On election night. I don't want to die on election night. I really think people don't give themselves enough credit for what they can actually do. So social media has made civic activism lazy because instead we think that posting memes on Facebook is what's going to stir up change, whichever is better or worse. We think that's what's going to do the trick. What's going to do the trick is if you take the time to make an organization.
I signed my petition on change.org.
Exactly. But if you take the time to meet with people and actually try to build something, then you could get something done, ideally. You have to develop a critical mass, and the only way to do that really is through, you know, sweat of your brow, boots on the ground sort of stuff. There's a reason that presidential campaigns don't rely solely on media buys and social media and earned media. There's a reason they still have people on the knocking on doors. Because that's you meet with people. You do things. You have to do that.
Knocking doors.
Anyway.
Knocking doors.
Now I'm ready to move on. Flight of the Conchords was
Flight of the Conchords was wonderful, if I may. Those guys put on a heck of a show, Jeff. A heck of a show.
Did they play any new material? I mean, they haven't done much
stuff for a while.
Their show's
songs.
Been off for years.
And they spoke the entire time in a New Zealand accent, which I thought was really witty of them. It's quite funny.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was the whole thing.
Did they play Business Time?
Yeah. All their original stuff. I mean, because everybody's heard it 1,000 times, so they just sort of rush through their old stuff and change it up, make it a little goofy, and move on. But like the beauty of their original stuff was the long pauses, the weird looks, all that kind of stuff. And they missed that. That went away. But still
now, was it just acoustic guitar? Was it just acoustic guitars?
No, they had a myriad of instruments. I believe a melodica
Did they play Inner City Pressure?
They did.
That one's because that's I don't know how you do that acoustic, but I love that song. That's a genuinely good song. It's like a Pet Shop Boys song. It's so great. Inner City Pressure.
They have so many good ones, and so many of them are maybe a little off color, but it was delightful. I took our good friend Sam Bryan went with us, and we partied hardy. And enjoyed the city. We were very happy.
I would have flown there to see it with you, Al, but you didn't invite me.
Jeff, you have a standing invitation. Anytime you'll fly to Missouri, I will take you to.
I did not even know Fly the Conchords were playing in Kansas City until the other night when you're like, I can't record with you right now. I'm too busy. Our schedules are the worst. You're the worst.
And you're like,
I have to go see Fly the Conchords.
I have a child. Whoa. That's how I. We both heard what we wanted to hear there.
Whoa.
I am a dad. That's how I hear every parent out there. Tell me of your problems. Blah, 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 blah.
You want to hear about a serious problem? Yeah. Missionaries in New Zealand had their bikes stolen.
Oh, yeah. I love the missionaries in New Zealand. These guys
Al
are
should
right.
be the one. Al should read this entire story to us. Two missionaries are stunned after their bikes and made mode of transport.
How are you stunned when your bikes are stolen? You leave them out there where they can be stolen, and they got stolen.
Yeah, they were at an hour-long commitment in New Zealand.
We called the police straight away. The sisters are currently on a biking mission. What do they say down here? When I first heard my bike had been stolen, I didn't think anything of it. I wanted to help them recover their bikes because they are here in another country away from their families and they don't have their support. They're not working. These people need to realize they've taken the bikes off people who really need them. They're not taking money off people. They're just sharing the gospel. It's just a little bit of a pickle, says Miss Flynn. It's just really a pickle. Oh, these guys. Hey, bro. Why you take them
Yet
bikes?
Yet another reason I'm glad I had no bike on my mission. It made it so much easier not to deal with that, you know? So much easier. Everyone should
you
just
had
walk.
No transportation.
So much better.
Yeah, walking was
I nice. Had the bus and the subway. That's what I had. And my feet.
Oh, you Basque nationalist.
That's me.
Why don't you
not
go
part
to
of my
a
mission
party celebrating
there.
Your own self?
Dude, if they would have had a Catalan folk festival, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That would have been the end. That would have been it. That'd have been done.
That's it. That's all you can do. You got it.
So, Al, we talked about this, I think, last week, 2 weeks ago. Speaking of course, of surveillance and the Big Brother state,
Is this Iowa law? Is this about Iowa?
No, but Putin signed into law that anti-terrorism law we talked about a few weeks ago.
What? That became real?
It became real. It went through.
So wait, are we not proselyting in Russia now?
I have not heard anything along those lines yet. I reached out to the church for comment and have not received a response. So if we get something, we'll let you know. For newcomers to this, it's an anti-terrorism law, but as part of it, proselytizing, a lot of religious expression are pretty severely limited in the name of protecting the state. I think that's the idea behind it anyway. The idea is probably to fight radical fundamentalism. Is
Mormons. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. But basically it restricts the sharing of beliefs. And you can only share them in places where they're supposed to be shared, like inside the church. But it explicitly bans any beliefs from being shared in residential buildings. So that could affect missionaries greatly in that every discussion would have to be held at the church.
That's interesting. Anybody with a sibling or somebody serving in Russia right now, did this change what's going on there? We need to know. We have to know.
I would actually really like to get some on the ground thoughts on this. It's law now, so I'm assuming they have to adapt.
Jeff, we should send you with a recorder extra time to Russia. Will you go? Will you
to Russia?
Go,
yeah, sure.
To Russia.
Sounds great. Yes, all the time, every day. But I will only hang out in Yekaterinburg and Novosibirsk.
Wait, so also we had this Iowa one. Were you following along with this? The Iowa law that's coming in? Discrimination yes, law? Or non-discrimination law, as it were?
A little bit, yes.
Now, this is one of those things where I think when you and I were talking about this earlier, it would only be affected if the religious organization was taking government money, right? And we don't know if maybe that's affected by tax breaks that obviously churches would get if that can be found somewhere in here. But this is saying, I mean, essentially, it just says that the state has the right to like alter doctrine of religious organizations, something to that effect.
That's what the lawsuit says. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but they are trying, because this Deseret News article, I don't feel like does the best job explaining all the ins and outs of it. Because it makes very clear that it says only if institutions receive government funding. And so the church itself doesn't. Then the law says the exceptions here are only applied to religious institutions if it's an official church capacity. So if it's something like a church-run daycare facility or something tangential to that effect, the anti-discrimination laws apply in that case. But what's not clear is if that still receives no government funding, in the first place, does it matter? And like a lot of things at Deseret News National, there's much to be desired.
Do you think that the days of the tax-exempt status of a church, are those numbered, do you think?
Probably. We're not even tax-exempt in every country. We just are in the U.S. We pay taxes in other countries.
In London? England?
In the U.K., I believe, yes, we do pay tax. Who knows how that'll change with the U.K. leaving the Euros, or not the Euro, the EU. They've never been in the Eurozone.
The Brexit?
I don't know all the ins... I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but of course there's reason to think that could change.
Our country is in upheaval. Our world is in upheaval.
It's all upside down.
It really is.
There might be reason to assume that eventually that could change. I feel like one of the great blessings we've had, people often talk about America being one of the only really religiously active developed countries in the world. And I think part of that is because we have created an environment where religious institutions can thrive without having to worry about taxes and such. Now, of course, you're going to jump on me and say, well, what about all the things the church does that probably should be taxed?
Like,
and there might
like
be an argument
what?
For that. Like owning a bunch of for-profit corporations that do still go to benefit, and they do pay taxes, but the profits therein still go to support church activities. But we do pay taxes on those. It's true. And I'm not knocking.
I'm against double taxation overall. Yeah, I think that's a bad hooju. I think you should pay taxes.
Are you telling me you don't love the death tax, Al? The death tax?
No, Jeff. I am telling you, I love the death tax. I just don't love the death penalty tax.
The one we tax the family after executing people. This sounds terrible. This has gotten very morbid very quickly.
Okay, so sites like the LDS Singler, LDS Mingler, LDS Dingler, Christian Mingler, Christian.
You mean Christian Mingle, the movie? Best movie you can ever see on Netflix right now. Watch it.
Farmers Only for Jesus Worshippers. All these sites that are built for the religious in us.
Sure.
Well, most of them are owned by one company, and there was a lawsuit brought up against these guys saying that they did not, they were discriminating against gay and lesbian people because they offered man seeking woman or woman seeking man, but nothing in between. Jeff. So these people have realized the error of their ways and have changed it to what is commonly referred to as the Lord's loophole, where now you are just a male or a female, and that's it. That is it. So that's it's a fun story, but don't try and be a dating site where you are.
Hold on. So by that notion, preference. If you don't say what you're looking for, does that mean that you could be a male looking for a female? But it just says male, so you could be approached by gay Mormon men who would approach you, and you just have to say
no. So now
I know it says I'm a man, but I don't want that.
Now, if you're a man seeking a man, you're just a man. You say you're a man, and they only show you women, and you just think that the gay options are very limited at the site, and you move on. This is why it's the loophole. Because they're not explicitly discriminating, so they found other ways to discriminate that aren't explicit. Well done, you. Who are these people?
Spark
Networks. Now, I believe that this is kind of silly on both parts, right? I mean, if you are gay and Mormon, actually, you should probably. I mean, there should be like gay Mormon sites for dating. I think that's probably a good thing to have.
Mormon Grindr, yes.
When you go on like an LDS Singles or a Christian Mingle or something, I think you'd probably be. I mean, there's still a big part of that faith that says that's not what we believe, and so I don't know. I'd be kind of surprised to see that on one of those. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would recommend is the right thing here.
It's hard because of the way they market and brand themselves. I mean, you see ads for these. They're like, hey, come meet. You know, it looks like an institute ad, right? Come meet Mormon singles who share your values and la-ti-da-ti-da. And so it's not to say, of course, that gay brothers and sisters don't share those values, but I fully understand why it could be off-putting or perceived in a weird way.
So they agreed within 2 years it would adjust the searching and profile features to give gay and lesbian singles more tailored experience. And they agreed to pay each plaintiff $9,000.
Big money.
And cover the $500,000 of legal fees. That's crazy.
Big money, no whammies. I don't know. It'll be goofy to watch. Do you still have your profile on any of those, Al?
No, thank
you. Ah, come on, son.
We had a month. We were doing an expose where Jeff and I were we were trying to date. Jeff was married at the time, so his wife is helping us. We were dating as me.
To be clear.
But unfortunately, I did not have time for any dates.
I think my issue was less
my dating pool and more my interest in actually dating.
Well, that happens.
That is so interesting to me, though, that you know, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of like a gay LDS single. Would I... I think I would not expect a site to cater to me, and that's probably what this is about.
Yeah. I hate to use the phrase separate but equal or anything close to that, but I would almost feel like if I were in that situation, I would prefer that there would just be a different website entirely dedicated to what I was looking for. You know? I just, in some ways, doesn't that make more sense? But then we go down a rabbit hole of just saying every dating website should be just, we should have separate dating websites for everything. You know, Black Mingle, Asian Mingle, Jewish Link Up, which is just, by the way.
The hardest part of that is that when you're building, like, the more ambiguous you make the application, the less tailored it can be, the less it can actually serve a purpose. And so
you dilute it down. It's true.
From a product development standpoint, this creates a challenge. Good luck to everyone. Yeah,
but maybe on the other end, they will just have the option to say if you are gay or looking for that. And people just aren't going to care to do it, but they'll just be checking off the legal box and being done with it. I don't know. Yeah. A couple quick mentions here. Interesting story here. The church wants missionary nurses. So what they're saying is they encourage every mission in the church to have a nursing specialist called as a missionary to that mission. And whether that means be a regular proselytizing missionary or have extra duties remains to be seen, but
they are looking for single 19 to 25 year old nurses. Well, me too.
They're also
all right. So get in line, Tommy Monson.
Is that what you want, Al? You want a woman who works 3 12-hour shifts a week? Is that what you're hoping for?
Yeah, that's 4 empty days, Jeff.
There you go.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. They also want retired couples where one is an RN or an MD or a single senior nurse. I like that they say current licenses are not necessary because the scope of practice in the mission field does not require them. It's basically, you don't have to be like a licensed professional to do this.
I still remember when I called my mission doctor out of retirement, the OBGYN was performing a surgery on my leg. He did quite good with a boiled scalpel in Ukraine. man was a saint.
I think this is a great thing, though. I remember on my mission, there was the area doctor, but he covered all of...
Yeah, that was ours. We had the same thing.
He covered all of Western Europe. I mean...
When you'd call him and you'd say, I'm really sick, and he'd say, drink more water. He'd say, okay.
I remember he looked at my sheet and said, you're not supposed to be here. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you have asthma. They don't send people with asthma out of the country. How did you get here? And I was like, I don't know, like God, you know, like revelation. That's how I got here, you schmo. Go back to Farmington, you jerk. Listen here.
Ah, you got him.
I was like, what is this sass? You're getting throwing shade at me like this.
All right, other quick ones. I'm gonna take us on a journey here.
Oh yeah? A journey of love.
No, so the Sapporo Temple open house is underway. There's a lot of work to get to this one point, but I feel like it's important to tell you that the temple in Japan, you can go to the open house. It's gonna be nice.
It's a pretty cool looking temple though. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it looks like a box, like all the other temples.
It looks better than a box. It's like a box with multiple boxes.
Yeah, like many boxes. It's like a San Diego temple of boxes.
I think it's one of the cooler looking temples I've seen in some time.
No, please.
No.
Oh, well, that one with the lights all done up.
I'm serious.
I mean, it could be Provo.
Did you see the video of how sacrament cups are made?
It didn't really
go into detail on how the actual sacrament cups are made. Like, I wanted to see what the plastic was molded and liquefied and forced through an extruder.
Yeah, you were looking for a how it's made
episode. I was looking for a how it's made. Instead, it kind of quickly roped me in with the headline of how they're made and then talked about it.
And you're like, I love how it's made. Show me. And then they're like, Jimmy, who works at Deseret Industries, makes the cups. And you're like, oh, well, that gave me nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. But it's still a good video. It's very.
Did you see that Salt Lake City is among the rudest in the nation? It's like number 8.
Number 6, I think, according to Travel and Leisure magazine.
Now, how do you rank this? Is this just a bad experience at a restaurant? Is this somebody threw dung at you from their car?
Well, here's the problem. They don't really say.
Do you remember that one time that I was in Salt Lake and an anti-Mormon video got B-roll footage of me walking across the street?
I totally forgot about that.
I like it.
Yeah, here's their description, though. They just say, what's not to like about a place entirely surrounded by ski resorts? Not really surrounded. They're all to the east, but okay. Maybe all that cold air leaves locals in the number one city for ski trips feeling frigid. But then it talks about why it impresses. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a nice city. But, I mean, Jeff has long held that once Salt Lake City elected a Democrat as their mayor, they would never be the nicest city in Utah. That would always go
That's
Provo.
Me. I've been saying it since the 80s.
You know? Yeah.
My mom.
I met the mayor of Provo.
My mom
he
put me
nice
on her
man.
Knee. It was the 84 election.
I remember. I remember.
You know, it was Mondale against Reagan.
When I said, Jeff, what's going to happen? And you said, it's going to be one of the rudest cities in America.
Yeah. This is what happened.
We both shed tears. I remember this. It was awful.
I would like to leave you this week with both a link to a rant of mine and an apology. Well, not an apology, just that I've learned things already. So I saw once more on Monday, I believe, on the 4th of July, Elder Neil L. Anderson was sent down to Dodger Stadium to throw the ceremonial first pitch.
He threw a strike.
Not only that, he threw it from the mound. Usually they all come forward a little bit. He went all the way up to the mound and hurled it. Good for him. Well played, sir. That's very impressive.
A zinger of a fastball, they call it.
Especially because you see Elder Bednar in the picture I posted. You think he would have done better. Elder Uchtdorf looks like he's struggling in his photo. A
real whiz bang of a
pitcher. A lot of tension there. Anyway, I saw this once again. And many listeners know I'm a very proud Angels fan. I'm proud of my suburban blandness of Orange County, where I grew up. And love my Halos. And I get so tired of Mormon Night at the Dodgers getting apostles all the time. And Mormon Night at the Angels, which also exists and is attended very well, getting something akin to like a steak patriarch from some place. Or some prominent business person who happens to be Mormon. Just ones that... Let's not say they don't matter, but let's say they don't matter.
Hey, those guys built the Newport Beach Temple, okay?
I've never seen him throw the first pitch, actually, come to think of it. Anyway, so I took issue with this in a blog post this week. I actually started writing it earlier in the week, like, ha-ha, here we go. I'm going to write something up, had it ready to go. Examples, thoughts. I even compared in my genius the I found the like number of people per stake between LA and Orange counties, and so basically it's a much smaller number in Orange County, which represents a greater density of Mormons compared to LA County. All the reasons why Orange County deserves that love, and the Angels should get it too, and that's great and it's fine. I thought it was fun to write. Then I was doing some sleuthing and found out from some friends who work in public affairs in the area of Los Angeles and Orange County that this usually does come from Salt Lake. But my prayers from recent years and maybe my rants on this very show were heard, because now I learned...
Are they coming to see their world champion Royals?
No, not that I know of. But I do know that Elder Gary E. Stevenson of the 12 is now going to throw out the opening pitch at Angels Mormon Night in July. So,
gee, Steve.
My entire article doesn't matter anymore.
No, Jeff, you affected change.
Al, you started this show earlier asking what we could do to change things. I took a step. See what I did? I spent years fighting for a cause.
Screw you, Jeff.
And now I've won.
All right, everybody, come say hello to us on our website at thisweekinmormons.com or email us contact@thisweekinmormons.com. We love your mails.
And go to the social media, the Facebook, where you can interact and you can have us berate you for your bad comments. Things along those lines.
Yeah, also, we don't change our behavior, but we will argue with you.
We appreciate thoughtful commentary either way. And if you're funny, even better. If you don't know what you're talking about, we'll let you know, but we'll try to be nice about it. And, you know, Twitter and Instagram, all the usual places you can find us. Please listen to our other productions, Sunday School Bonanza, which goes over gospel doctrine lessons. Listen to our other podcast that we produce, Third Hour of Power, which does the same thing for the teachings of the Presidents of the Church Manual.
The Power of the Hour, we call it.
That's the one. So that's going to be it. And this show has been a lot of fun to record for reasons hopefully none of you can figure out from hearing it. But reasons reasons that Al and I will know forever. So email us if you want to know what that means. All right. Thanks, folks. Bye, Al. Thanks for listening to Twim. See you later.
Hell this, 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 h